Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for being here as always. Some of you did DM me, and I will be ordering shirts here in the next week or two. Podcast shirts. I got your sizes. I even got some DMs from people I've never met before. I didn't even know that listened. So that was interesting. So I will be giving you those shirts later this month. I would say at the very latest early June. They could take a couple weeks to get here once I order them. So I appreciate everybody supporting the podcast, listening, rating, reviewing, all that good stuff. What have I been up to? Not a lot lately, just working, watching the NBA playoffs, doing a few shows here and there, but nothing crazy yet. I did last time I talked to you, was the weekend of the showcase where I opened up for Brad and Johnny Mockney hosted. And we had done the Thursday show at that point. And Friday and Saturday was great. The whole weekend was awesome. And it's always fun working with friends. And Brad killed, you know, he always kills. I caught parts of him. I didn't really watch a whole set. Bloom was having a show two nights in a row. So I went down to kind of see the comics and visit the other comics. But Brad had to at least listen to me or watch me because I was ahead of him. And Brad was very nice. And you know, when you come up with somebody, you start comedy around the same time as someone. You know, since Brad's been back, he's only seen me at mics. I've only seen him at mics. We both know each other. We both know that each other are solid stand-up comics. Obviously, we've known each other for a very long time. But I've worked with him. I've not worked with him since he's been back. And we were in the green room talking, and he just said a very nice thing. He said, it was really fun to watch you tonight. You know, it was, you know, you don't see somebody for a while, you know. So it was, that was cool. That was a really nice, you know, coming from Brad, comic I really respect. That means a lot. I remember like doing the Blind Pig a while back, and Michael Keefe was in town, and I came up with Michael Keefe too. We started around the same time as well, and now he's in Chicago. I think he's taking a break from stand up. He's teaching right now, but he came in and did like a spot at the Blind Pig because he was at the showcase the next week, and he wanted to get like some time, and he was in town to visit family, I think, and he saw me for the first time in quite some time, and he was like, "Wow!" He's just like, "Man, you don't see somebody for a while," and wow, you know, and I felt the same way when I saw Mike, you know, it was interesting, you know, you come up with people, you start stand up with people, and then you take breaks, you don't see them for a long time, and all you can do is hope you progress, right? You can only hope you get better. Like, it'd be embarrassing if I worked with Brad or I did that set at the Blind Pig and I did not improve whatsoever, you know, it would be embarrassing. That's always the goal for this, is to improve. Even if you're really good, you can always get better, you know? So that's just, a lot of that is just time, man, just doing this for a long time, you know? So, but it was awesome to work with Brad. Johnny Mockney killed it. Johnny's so funny, man. And he's hosting. He should not be hosting. You know, he should be doing guest sets. Am I right? No, he should be featuring. Johnny's really funny. Really, really good comic. Super smart. Great jokes. He's another guy that's just really taking a leap. You're like, wow, this dude's really funny. That was just a great weekend, you know? And then, you know, I don't know what's going on with clubs, man. You know, consistency's a little weird, right? I don't know. I just feel like if you went on any club's website, I feel like you could probably pick four or five weekends where you're like, that person's headlining. You could probably do that with almost any club, but you know, I just don't want to hear it from club owners and bookers when they're like, you need to write more, or you know, or you need to do this or that. When it's like, I see who you're booking. That guy hasn't written a joke in 12 years, so. You know, it's just, you know, I don't know, there's no consistency, you know, that's where relationships are key. Like if you're a club owner and you have a relationship with a comic for a long, long time and you guys are friends, that's going to benefit the comic, even if he hasn't written a joke in 12 years, you know, whatever it is. So, but That weekend was super fun though. I'm not going to, that's it. We're not, I don't really, I'm trying to think. I'm doing a fundraiser show on Saturday. It's a 4:30 show. So that'll be interesting. I don't know what to expect. I haven't done a fundraiser show in a long time and they could either be great or very, very bad. But, you know, I'm happy. I'm kind of happy that it's a 4:30 show. I just go do that show, come back and I can watch the playoffs. It's not a night show, you know? So that's what I'm doing on Saturday. On the show today is Camilla Bellario, and she has been here before. It's been a long time since she's been here, but I have to remind myself I have been doing this podcast for over 3 years now, which is kind of crazy, but and she's back. She's got a special coming out today when you're listening to this. If you download this the day it comes out, it's coming out today. I think it premieres on YouTube at 9 o'clock tonight, I believe, and it's called Real Love. And Camilla's just someone that has just become a super solid fucking stand-up, dude. Just a really good comic. And talk about, you know, progressing and getting better. She's definitely someone that's, you know, you watch her a few years ago, you're like, okay, all right. And you watch her now, you're like, holy shit, you know. So, and she's starting to do some headlining now. And it was the right time for her to put on a special. You know, I can't wait to watch it. She's just a really good comic. And I was happy that she took the drive over here and we talked. Apparently she lives closer to me than she did the first time she was here. So, fun conversation. Camilla's great. And I hope you enjoy this conversation with, Camilla Bellario, and check out her special Real Love. Check it out. YouTube, check it out. I'll put it in the notes too. She's fantastic. Camilla Bellario. It's new for sure. This chair's new. It's not comfortable. It only looks cool. It is so uncomfortable.
King of the castle.
Your chair is more comfortable.
Really?
This is only to let people know where I'm sitting. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no other reason to have this chair. It looks.
Is it British? What's the vibe that it's giving off?
Well, the puppy's British.
That's, I think, why I'm associating it.
No, it's just, I just like the colors.
Yeah, know? It's like American vibes.
But there's another gamer chair in my room and it's in a box and it's been in a box for 2 years. My mom got it for me. I just haven't put it together yet because.
Let's build that thing right now. Take the box out.
Because what happened was, is when I put this one together, I'm really bad. I don't know how, I would be curious as to how Gary is, but I am not good with building stuff. I'm just not a man. Like my brain just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So when I
watch how I answer that very carefully,
give me hold on 1 second. Then that's really funny. He's going to listen to this. But when I got the gamer chair, I put it together and it took me 2.5 hours. And I thought,
this one?
Well, it's not too bad. Yeah. And then I looked in the comments section of the exact chair being built and a girl was like, I'm 14 and it took me 25 minutes. So.
Oh. Well, yeah, because it's not like you sewed it up. Like it was probably just two pieces. You put the base on the chair, right?
It's like 3 or 4 pieces. Yeah, it's not a lot. But I'm not that guy.
Really?
I'm really not a man's man, no.
I'm a man's man.
Are you more of a builder than Gary?
Yeah, I'm more of like the handyman.
Mm-hmm.
That said, though, like I have him build. Like he's really good when you say like, take care of this project. And so he'll like build like a dresser. And I just hate building shit like that. That has like, you know, 5 hours and like 2,500 parts and like all the nuts and bolts. I'm like, can somebody else do this? I know I could do it. I just don't want to.
Well, they have TaskRabbit now. You can just go on and have someone. It is kind of weird to have someone come into your house and build something. That would be a little weird.
How much of a piece of shit do you want to feel like?
Right.
They're like, this chair has two parts, Carl.
Yeah, I know. I'm not like one of those people that are like alpha males, but that is one thing where I'm like, that is definitely one thing. I'm like, I should probably, but you know, what's funny is I just blame it on the fact that I don't have a dad.
Yeah, honestly, it probably is why.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Honestly.
My stepdad tried to teach me stuff, how to build stuff, but his patience was zero. So he's really hard to work with.
I always knew my dad wanted a son. And so I think like when I was growing up, I would always try to be like the son, you know, I don't know that he knows that. And I would never be like, Dad, call me your son, you know? But I'd be like, yeah, I'll do that. Like, yeah, I like to get dirty. I like to build things.
Are you, you're not the only, you have sisters, right?
I have an older sister.
Just you and the older sister.
Yeah. We're very different though. Like I think more rough and tumble than she is.
Yeah. Which I would not know about you.
You wouldn't guess that I'm rough and tumble?
No, because I so judged you when you first started doing comedy. I'm not even joking. Why? So judge me how? Well, just like when you first started,
because I didn't build anything on stage. Because I didn't bring my hammer with me. How are you to know?
I don't even mean as like a comedian.
Just judging me in general.
No, I probably wasn't the only person, man or woman. I thought, oh, here's this hot chick doing comedy. Great.
That's so funny.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was like I bet you other female comics felt the same way. Oh,
that's so funny that you even think it's funny because anybody who knows me, anyone who knows me knows I've just never thought of myself that way. So to have someone actually have that opinion of me is so like different than my reality.
Right. But I've learned that about you over the years.
Yeah.
You know, you have like a very maternal instinct even before.
Which is funny also. I don't think I have one
either.
But
you take care of people.
I do. Yeah. I like taking care of people, but I don't.
That wasn't the vibe I got from you when you first started though. But that was just me.
I was also in my mid-20s and I was in like, I was a disaster. I wasn't a disaster in the grand scheme of things. I was a disaster for me.
Yeah.
And I've really grown. I'm 35 now.
I know. You know? Isn't that great? It's weird.
It's fucking nuts.
How long have you been doing comedy now? 10? 8? 9?
8 years. Wow. Yeah. Coming on 8 right now. Yeah.
That's how you know you feel old when you've been doing it for a long time, and then you ask other comics you still think are kind of new, and they're like, no, almost a decade.
I still feel like I'm new to comedy in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how comedy is, though. It's always humbling, and like, you're like, I'm a beginner.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes.
That's so weird. It is 8 years, and you got a special coming out.
Yep, on Friday.
Which Friday, is exactly May 10th. When this will go up. So. Yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
love that.
It'll go up Friday.
Two things. I'll advertise both.
I appreciate that. I know are you pumped? Too excited?
Yeah, I'm very pumped. It's like, I should have released this 6 months ago.
Sure.
It just took forever. And like, there's so many things that came in the way. Like I got married and all that stuff. Yeah. So like everything. And then I got pregnant. And so I kept putting it off and I wish I had done it sooner. But here we are. I'll be posting this to the world and then hopefully 2 weeks later having a baby and I won't have to, then I can just like work on being a mom.
And it's going to be like new mom stuff.
Yeah, exactly. It's already
it's like
what
a
it
transition
is.
Of,
at yeah. this point, it's like, I need to release this because it's so different than my current reality. Like a year ago is so different than right now.
Yeah.
So I was like, I better get this out before it's so irrelevant to me that I shouldn't release it, you know?
Releasing it later, what, 6 months later, you said?
No, like 5-6 months later than I wanted to.
But it probably gave you a little more time to hone it, right? And make it better. But at least you waited 8 years, is what I'm saying, right?
Let's put it this way. I mean,
some people are like 2 years and I'm going to release something.
I know. Yeah. I needed to record the special because it was pretty much ready. It was ready.
Yeah.
But of course, like now it's been 6 months and like some of those jokes I've already made better because it's just how it works. That's always how it's going to be. You know, a joke will always continue to get better. But I'm like, God damn it. Now I didn't get to add that into the special, but it's okay because, you know.
Where did you film it at? I remember specifically asking for a ticket and I don't remember why, but I couldn't make it and I felt terrible.
Oh, please. Don't worry. It was awesome.
Such a Carl move.
So many amazing. I had so many good friends. I mean, they were both sold out. Like it was just like such a wonderful night.
Hell yeah. So two shows.
I did two back to back recordings.
You them together. Kind of what was
And like the second one was a little bit, I thought the first one after the first one, I was like, wow, that was like exactly what I wanted. I got what I needed. I don't even need to record a second one. And then the second show ended up being like so awesome that I pretty much primarily I anchored on it. And then I have maybe like a couple bringing in from the first, but pretty much it's all the second set.
That's awesome.
The audience was just like fire. I mean, it was, both of them were amazing audiences. So
I think I told you this. I remember seeing you at Blind Pig. Like when you first walked in, you're like, oh, we haven't seen each other in forever. Last time we saw each other was Don't Tell, which was like a few months ago.
Yeah.
But before then it had been quite some time. And I teased you saying I don't like to do shows with you. but where the fuck was I going with this? This is 42-year-old man brain.
I'm like trying to think where you were trying to go with it.
It'll come back to okay. me and I'll just, we'll just revert back. This wouldn't be the first time.
I mean, I did, like I told you, I did a show last night and I was just like watching comedians just doing so well and like on their, on the top of their game on stage. And I was just sitting there like, I can't wait for my brain to feel clear again.
Yeah.
Cause it's just so like, it'll come and go. Like sometimes I'll have moments where I'm like, wow, I don't even feel pregnant anymore. And then others, I'm like, I can't even open my eyes all the way anymore.
Right, right, like, right, right.
I want to be clear of mind again. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm drained.
Well, who'd you do the shows with last night?
It was Don't Tell. It was my, So I've been, we produced like one a month and we're
always good too. Yeah, the lineups are always good.
Yeah. It was an amazing show.
This is
we had Dave Dyer headlining.
Well, I got to get him on here. I love Dave.
You Dave's should. Wins. He would be he's a very fun podcaster.
Great. We were talking about before the mics went on, then I'm going to go back. It actually hit me. I remember what I was talking about. But we were talking about like how sometimes we're talking about older comics, right? A certain group of older comics. Now they think they don't get booked because they're old, but really they're not funny or they're just fucking weird, right? There's some things going on. Dave is not one of those guys.
Oh my God.
He's so funny. The exact opposite.
He's top caliber talent in Michigan. He could and will and should be so famous. So
love Dave.
Yeah. He's recording a special in like on the 16th of May.
I'm going to have to see if he's out this way or we'll just do it over Zoom. Cause I've worked with Dave so many times.
He would come out probably.
I love Dave.
Yeah.
And we'd have to hang out. And I don't want to hang out with him. But
oh my God, I love hanging out with Dave.
So do I. I love Dave. I've done a lot of stories about Dave.
You know, he officiated my wedding.
That's fucking great. You guys are close. I know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he considers you like another daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
We're close.
He's one of those dudes that like, he's good to have your, but you know, he'll take care of you.
He's just like, there's not a lot of people like him in the world, but he just feels like family immediately. So,
and dude,
Gary and I both love him.
Is he still firefighting? Is he still volunteer?
Yeah, he's there today. He did a show in Detroit last night, left at 11:30 or something like that, and had to be at the station at 7 a.m. today.
Machine, dude.
Yeah, he's a beast.
He went from like, I remember first, and then we'll get off this, but I remember first meeting him and he was like, Dave was never fat, but he was like a little pudgy. And it leaves the old man pudge, right? And then he got in so much shape.
He did 75 hard.
He did what?
He did 75 hard.
What's
Do you know that?
No.
Oh my God, really? It's like David Goggins made it kind of famous. It's like, I don't know that it's associated with Navy SEALs, but it's a crazy 75 day regimen where you have to
build a gamer chair.
Basically, yeah, you have to do way more than, let's just say it's a little different than, you have to do two workouts a day that are 45 minutes, one of which is outside. You have to drink a gallon of water a day. You have to pick a diet. Doesn't matter what diet it is. Dave talks about this all the time. That's why I know. But it's like you pick a diet. Doesn't matter what diet it is, but there's no cheat days. You have to have that diet every day.
I'm out.
You have to read 10 pages of a book a day. And you have to do it for 75 days. Two workouts a day, 75 days. He was ripped at the end. He's like, but I was a nightmare. Like people are like, I'm his fat Dave.
Yeah. You know? Right. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing about like getting in shape is that's why you have to have a cheat.
You become neurotic and nobody wants to be around you. It's just like, fucking eat a burger. Who cares?
Yes, nobody just needs have you to fun, be thin. Lighten up.
Yeah. Nobody needs you to be thin. I had to tell myself that when I got really neurotic about it in my 20s, I was like super like into, you know, logging my macros and my calories.
We talked about this in the past.
Yeah, I was super ripped. Right. I looked great. And for what? You know, like all for what?
To feel great, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, but like you're hungry. Yeah. You're fucking hungry.
That's what I want to go back to because I told you this at the Blind Pig when I saw you. A couple, maybe probably 4 or 5 months ago. And I mean this, you have just like you did now. All comics do, but I think you have a better delivery than most comics.
Really?
Like
thank
your delivery
you.
Is just so good. And that's what I look forward when I watch on stage. That's what I really look forward to is just the delivery.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's really good.
So well, especially like at a place like Blind Pig, those are the shows that I relish in because it's like normally it's 7 minutes. Typically it's an open mic, you know? So it's like, I don't do stuff I know well. I usually do stuff for the first time at Blind Pig. I rarely will do a joke I've done even more than one time.
Right.
So it's like it's an honor that you say that about a Blind Pig delivery because that's like, that's coming out live, right, you know, like that's a new joke you're talking about.
But you have like such a sarcastic / fun, bubbly personality, which is what
I think not just me, what people didn't think about you when you first started, just outside looking in.
Yeah.
Until you start to really get to know somebody. We all have those prejudgments, you know what I mean? So yeah. I'm sure when I'm at the mic, someone's like, oh, fucking old guy over here. Was this guy 6 months in?
I don't think you give off old vibes at all.
I don't think I do either.
Not at all.
Except the year I was born.
but you don't have to talk about that. No. Nobody knows. Like when people find out I'm an 80s child, they think I'm old. Because I am old now in comparison to a lot of newer comics at the mics and stuff.
Sure.
I'm older than a lot of people on shows.
Do you also feel older that now that you're going to be a mom, do you feel like, does that?
No, I like, even though I know I'm having a baby. It's like, sometimes I'll look at myself and be like, wow, like you're actually fully pregnant. Like I still feel like I'm 25 and like, I'm lying when I give my ID to someone. Right. Like I still don't feel like I'm in my 30s, even though I've like gotten married and went to grad school. And like, I did all these things, you know, that got me where I am. Like I'm different now than I was in my 20s for sure, but I still don't feel old at all.
Yeah. No, I don't either. I'm technically probably, but I do now. I'm gonna be 43 in June.
No, you're not old. I think like you can start saying you're old when you're like 70.
I also think it's just how you act and
how you feel.
Yeah. I talked about this recently, but I was just like training two people at work. One was 22 and the other one was 19.
Yeah.
And we were-
They're like, Papa?
Yeah. Well, the 19-year-old technically probably could have been my daughter.
Could have.
But, and we were just like, we were talking like I was not 20 years older than she was. Or
yeah.
Be 25 You're like,
hey man,
older.
You have a cigarette?
Yeah, we were just bullshitting. Like I wasn't. And that's why I also think doing comedy helps me not feel like that either.
Because some
people-
you young.
Yeah, some people do get stuck in a rut of just like- You know,
it's humility, by the way. It's like it keeps you humble. And I think it reminds you that like age isn't what makes a person good or bad.
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah.
I love the people I've had comic friends say this too. Like, I don't even really pay attention to age. And I love that. Mm-hmm. Like you just don't look at someone and go 25. You wouldn't even know.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like even going back to Dave Dyer, like you said, I'm like a daughter to him. I don't know if I'm a daughter to him or like I don't think about age at all when we're talking to each other. Like
really
we're
either.
Very much like friends. And I think that's just like, I think comedy does that too, because it's very like level playing field.
Yeah. So you're going to be taking some time off after the baby.
Yeah. For comedy. Well, like I'm taking a break. I'm done. Like I'm actually not performing anymore now. I'm delivering hopefully in like 3 weeks. So, and then
you're going to be a great mom. Gary as a dad.
I'm terrified. Gary's going to be a great dad. I'm going to need him to like understand my needs for like, I'm like, Gary, I can't just direct you to make me a sandwich. I need you to just see it in my eyes. I need you to recognize I need a sandwich before I ask.
I feel like
if I have to ask, it's too late.
I feel like I got a tiny glimpse of it at Don't Tell, the one I did a few months ago. And we had that heckler. Remember on the other side of the room, the drunk guy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And you had to go up to him probably a half a dozen times.
Oh, that was the worst nightmare I've ever had.
And Gary was like walking with you to make sure you didn't lose your shit completely.
Yeah. He wasn't walking with me to protect me. He was walking with me to make sure I didn't fucking lose it on this guy.
1000%.
Yeah.
He was walking with you to protect worried. The guy. Yeah.
This guy was out of control though. Like, I should have known when he walked in drunk and he asked if he could touch my belly.
Normally,
I don't mind letting people touch my belly at all. I'm not like someone who doesn't like to be touched. Yeah. But I was like, get your goddamn hand away from me and sit in this seat and don't ruin this show or I will have you removed. And he proceeded front row, of course, to ruin the show.
Yeah.
And I had to get him removed. And then he just like banged on the windows outside.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, I remember all of it.
What a freaking nightmare.
Because I felt like everyone had a good set, but they could have been better.
We have a Don't Tell show that's pretty big in June for Juneteenth. We're doing like a Juneteenth celebration with an all black. Juneteenth is? That's my dad's birthday.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's
interesting. Gemini. Yeah, Gemini.
That's my birthday, yeah.
Oh, cool. So we're doing like, it's going to be a really big show.
No one cares anymore.
You can't be on my show. You're not black. So I'll be helping with that, but I won't be performing.
Black people are taking my birthday.
Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. That's what my dad says.
Does he really say that?
I'm kidding. But yeah, it's a fairly new like holiday, 3 or 4 years maybe. This is like the fourth year.
Yeah, it's like that. Well, it should have been a national holiday long before. But yeah,
argument here.
It's kind of wild. Yeah, I mean, like people get it off work, and it's a lot of like large corporations get it off work, of course, and then like a lot of like working class folks don't get it off, yeah. And so it kind of seems like a stupid holiday to celebrate. Yes. Like it's funny to me that like so many white Americans get Juneteenth off.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
I took it off from work this year. I took one, but it's because it's my birthday. I'm not going
to
pretend.
Yeah, you're like, I need to take this off to educate myself.
I have a lot of black friends, and I need today off. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Detroit so much because it's such a different, I mean, it's 80% black, which is like, I lived in Detroit and I had never lived in a city where like I was the minority, even Hispanics, you know, I don't know the percentage of Hispanics in Detroit, but.
This bird does not know that I'm recording a podcast.
It's not that loud. It's beautiful. It's springtime.
Does Gary text you a lot now to make sure you're okay?
No.
No.
No, actually, no. Thanks for asking. He is golfing and I've texted him, but he has left me on red.
Nice. Boys yeah. Day. He's out with the guys.
He's with my dad.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, I guess.
He's a really great guy.
Gary?
From the small interactions I've had with him, he just seems like such a good dude.
He's a good dude.
Fuck yeah, dude. And
He's a very good dude.
I'm very happy for you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's super supportive, which is great. And, you know, we're both going through it right now, trying to get ready for the baby in our own ways.
Do you know if the baby is female or male yet?
Yeah, it's a boy.
It's a boy? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're having a boy.
You're super excited.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter, female, or you're going to love it.
I didn't care. It's weird because like when we first found out we were pregnant, I immediately thought it was a boy and like just felt like it was a boy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, 5 years ago or maybe even before, like before I ever met Gary, I went to this medium who told me that there's like a boy that like selected me as its mother and it's just waiting. Yeah. So I always kind of like was like, huh, maybe she's right. Maybe she's wrong. But when we first got pregnant, I was like, I wonder if it's that boy that medium told me about. And then when we found out it was a boy, we were both just like, yeah. I mean, we were just kind of set on it being a boy.
Yeah.
I think a girl would have been easier because it's a little bit more in my realm. Now I have to clean a dick and balls for a few years. So. I don't know.
I think a girl would have been easier for you. I don't know if it would have been easier for Gary.
I think like girls.
When the girl got older is what I'm saying. Yeah.
I think girls in general. Y'all got
good genetics is what I'm saying. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to be an ugly kid.
We're hoping that we're going to
be surprised.
Yeah. We're hoping that our second will be a girl so that we can collect them all and then call it a day.
How often do two good looking people have ugly kids? Can it happen? Because I have seen two ugly people have good looking kids and that's crazy.
I know.
They get like the right amount of.
That's evolution. I had a dream. We had our final ultrasound last week and his hands are always in front of his face so we can never quite see him well.
Mm.
And my first thought yesterday was like, Gary was like leaving and saying goodbye. And I was like, what if our baby's ugly? He goes, how is that possible? I was like, I think it's possible.
It's obviously such a small percentage. Yeah, of course it is.
So I guess I'll just have to still be his mom, but he'll be ugly. I'm not going to beat around the bush. Yeah.
Does that
chair have a seatbelt?
No, it has like a razor game chair.
Does it have something?
It has like
strap?
A baby. What it has is like it's for the pillow down here. The strap is for the pillow.
Oh,
which by the way, does nothing.
I thought you just like strap in. You're like, we're gonna get ready for takeoff.
Before every podcast,
one day I'll have a girlfriend.
No, that would be the one thing. It's such a dumb thing to think about, but that'd definitely be the one thing that I would think about if I was.
I haven't thought about it till just like this week. I was like, oh, fuck. What if he's ugly?
Yeah, that would be terrible luck. That would just be bad luck.
They all come out looking ugly.
Well, sure, until you clean them off.
But my sister's had three beautiful. Yeah, do you clean them, wipe them off a little? My sister had three beautiful children,
mm-hmm.
each one more beautiful than the last.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did she tell
them that? Did you tell them that?
No, actually, I mean, her first is my favorite because she's my darling.
Sure.
You know, and my sister and her husband are both beautiful.
Yeah.
So like there was no other option really for them. Yeah. So what if I have like a boy with a big ass? Like, you know, like some of the things you don't plan for.
You do see some guys with big tushes every once in a
while. That's what I'm saying.
It's a weird thing, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's a weird thing. When
if
the guy's skinny, he's kind of big. It is weird, right?
He's a newborn in 6 month apparel because that ass.
Yeah, he's got like the hips. He's got like the big hips, man.
My baby has wide hips. I don't know.
I don't know if you know this, but I was employee of the month at my job recently.
You were what?
Employee of the month at my job.
No way. Yeah. Congrats.
I mean,
are you still at the same place that you've been? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not saying it to brag. I'm saying it's like,
that's a huge deal.
Well, I thought it was a little embarrassing.
Why?
Well, first of all, I've never been employee of the month of anything my entire life.
Yeah, that's great.
So then the only reason why they gave me the employee of the month though is because I trained the new people and I told them to not call managers if they ask questions to call me.
There you go.
So didn't have to, that's the only reason why I got it.
Well, you as an employee, in order to move up in the world,
keep talking.
You have to take monkeys off your manager's back.
Yeah.
And if you can do that, you'll continue to grow in your job.
Well, here's the thing is I wish they would have like pulled me to the side and told me, but they announced it in front of everybody. It was more embarrassing to do any other set where I bombed in my entire life.
How is it embarrassing to
Just because like it's, I don't know. It's just, I don't it, because I feel like, you know, I mean, technically I am a lifer. I've been there for a while, but you don't want to be known as the one that takes it way too serious. Like I do joke about it. You want to be really good at the job, but not fucking great at the job to our people.
I'm not like that.
Unless it's a career though. But what do you do for a living?
I work in tech.
Yeah. So that's different. That's a career for me. Like, yeah. I'm saying you shouldn't take a job. Just show up and do your job. Like I do a joke about it. Like that's all you should do. But what they did was they like gave me a plaque. They made me take a picture with the plaque.
Hell yeah.
And just to prove them that I wasn't the employee of the month, the next day I was 15 minutes late. So yeah. I did it on purpose. You know?
Were on purpose late?
Yeah. So
I feel like it's not about the actual job you're employed by. There's like three different ways to approach it. And it's job, career, or calling. And it's like, do you treat it like a job? Do you treat it like a career? Or do you treat it like a calling? And I'm incapable of treating anything like a job.
That's a good quality.
Even
to have,
like
I think.
Stupid things.
I think it's a good quality. I just remember working with a guy that does what I do. And he told me one time, he said, it's the only thing I'm good at. And I felt embarrassed for him. Because what we do is not like that. I spray lawns.
Okay.
Yeah, very easy. It's not like hard to do. But it's like, it was just a weird thing to like, don't say that out loud. Don't tell people that, you know what I mean? Just going from the comedy depression side of it as to where you're like proud and.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if you do anything, even if it's like. Giving papers
you should put
out.
Your heart into
you
it.
Should do it as best as you can.
But you shouldn't let people know that you're putting your heart into it.
That's so funny.
Corporate, whenever you work for like a $1 million, $1 billion company, instead of them paying you well, which a lot of them do, but instead of them paying you well, they just try to make it more fun. You know, like that's what they try to do. Like Walmart. Walmart should pay its employees minimum. Everyone should make fucking $20 an hour. Mm-hmm. Minimum. That's how much money they make, but instead they do a Walmart cheer. They do a cheer. That's what they do. You don't do it in the back room. You do it on the floor in front of fucking everybody.
Wow.
Everybody can see that happening.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the,
and you get your check.
Yeah. Well, they should be helping people increase their skill level so then they can get the better job that pays more money. Yeah.
Well, it's like, I'll cheer privately when I punch out or I leave this job.
Right. You know? I didn't know that.
I was thinking about this for some reason. I don't know why, but do you have any celebrity crushes?
Plenty.
Do you have a hall pass? By the way, if you're not with someone, you can't call it a hall pass. What would it be called for me?
It's just like a list of people you'll never hook up with. I don't know. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, obviously Gary and I both, it's so funny because we both agree on like the same hot guys. We'll be like, you know what?
We like would, famous people?
We would both blow Ryan Gosling at the same time.
He's a very handsome man.
We would go, we would take
Ryan.
Turns.
Ryan Gary Gosling and Drive?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Gary and I both on our knees. Ryan, come over here now. And then, okay, fine. Gary's going to blow you now.
It's a like, very
both
handsome
Gary
man.
And I.
Very handsome man.
Yeah, we love Ryan Gosling. The hottest guy I can think of is like Chris Hemsworth. I think he's just like the most beautiful man alive.
Okay.
Personality wise, I don't know. There's like plenty of like really hot guys in, but no, I mean like, do I have a hall pass? No, yeah. I think any, like in reality, because I know that the world can surprise you. And like, if I were to say my hall pass is like this famous person and I ever did like a show with that person, it's just inappropriate. Like, no, I'm never going to cheat on Gary. If I ever want to hook up with someone, I'm not going to be married to Gary, you know? So,
that's so funny.
I wouldn't say we have hall passes, but we have plenty of people. We always joke around. I'm like,
I think that's so healthy, by the way.
Would we suck on that guy's asshole? And he'd be like, yeah, we would. Like, we agree on a lot of those.
But I wanted to go back to my celebrity crush is a woman named Rachel Bonetta. She's 32. And
she's 32. I love how the age is important.
And, I don't want to go too young. But she was a Fox Sports analyst. And worked for the NFL Network. I'm a sports person. And now guess what she does now?
She does
stand-up comedy.
Really?
She just moved into stand-up comedy like a year ago. Yeah. And it's weird watching.
Oh, she looks like,
Oh, you're Googling her. Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking her up. She looks at, you know who she looks like? The girl from Pitch Perfect.
Anna Kendrick.
She looks like Anna Kendrick.
I like Anna Kendrick too. Like a little Anna Kendrick. Yeah.
She looks a lot like Anna Kendrick. I mean, she's. Maybe yes, potentially a little bit prettier. Yeah. I don't know.
But now she's doing stand up and it's just funny to watch like her clips go up. And
is she
like,
funny?
Well, she's always been a funny person like on TV. She is funny, but she's just, you can tell she's new. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she's also a really good actor. I've seen her like in some short stuff.
She's super pretty.
Yeah, she's very pretty.
That's what a niche crush.
Right? I know. And Ryan Gosling, please, too famous for me.
I know. I'm like, I'm sure that there's like other ones that I could probably think of that are better, and I can't. I panic and pick Ryan Gosling every time.
What is something you're enjoying right now? I was closing this. You've been over once. We did Worst Bomb already, so we're moving to this. What is something that piece of art, books, music, shows? What is something that you're really liking right now?
The first thing is not comedy related. Actually, maybe I'll do the comedy related one, and then I'll do the non.
Sure.
Okay. The thing that I like that's comedy related now, but I've always kind of liked, is the Good For You podcast with Whitney Cummings.
What do you think of Whitney? Obviously you like her cause you listen to the podcast. You like her a lot. Yeah.
I mean, like as a person, I like her. I think
she gets a bad rap. I think she gets a little better rap. I like her too.
I mean, she doesn't get a bad rap. She's killing it. She's a millionaire.
Saying that so many people do not like her.
I think.
Which is wild.
You can easily see her podcast, see her comedy, and deduce this is a shitty person who's full of herself and like talks over people and like loves herself a bit too much. Therefore, I don't like her.
By the way, if you're podcasting, you're talking over people. It just happens.
It's your goddamn podcast.
It happens.
A. Yeah. B, you're giving people opportunities because like she has a widely viewed podcast. Mm-hmm. C, I think like she's exactly who she has to be.
Yep.
To be who she is.
And she's not afraid of it, which I like.
She's not.
And she just had a baby, didn't she?
Yeah, she did. She just had a baby.
At 41, 40?
Yeah, and she's a single mom. And I just think I like her on a personal level. I think like if you have haters, which she does, I'm sure.
Well,
if you have haters,
huge,
you're killing it.
You can't deny that she's a genius when it comes to writing for TV shows. Like she created several huge TV shows.
Yeah, I got actually, I watched her show, Whitney. Did you watch that ever?
Back in the day? Was that with Chris D'Elia?
Yeah.
I think I watched a little bit when it first came out.
Yeah, I mean like.
But Two Broke Girls is the one that really.
Yeah. She's an incredible person, but she also understands her worth and she knows her worthiness. And I think like that's not easy for the general person to watch and be comfortable with. And I think it makes people uncomfortable. To which I say, go fuck yourself.
Like, she's authentically herself. You can't deny that.
Yeah, she's great. She's
really herself. She's not pretending to be anybody else.
No, I really like her, and I love her podcast, and I love the guests that she has on her podcast, and I love watching her podcast.
I'm going to have to go back.
She just had Fahim Anwar on her podcast not long ago, and I performed with Fahim Anwar in Detroit at the House of Comedy last year. Yeah, I mean, he's easily one of the better comedians like out there, and he's just an amazing writer. His jokes are so awesome.
Yeah.
And he should be and will be probably way more famous than he is right now, like just long term. But I loved her pot. Like, she's able to connect with so many different levels of comedians, but like, even like, she just gets respect from so many different comedians.
Well, she's so vulnerable. For good reason. Her vulnerability is a 10 out of 10, you want from a person. Yeah.
Yeah. She's very vulnerable. Anyway, I love her podcast. I used to watch, I used to follow Heather McMahon's podcast a little bit more.
Who's that?
You don't know Heather McMahon?
No.
She's a sensation. She like started popping up a bit more during the pandemic.
Okay.
And like became very popular on like Instagram. And now she's pretty big on TikTok. She's like doing theaters like around the nation. Heather McMahon. She's very funny. I love her as a human being. I don't listen to her podcast as much anymore. I used to listen to it a lot. It used to be my crack, but really into Absolutely Not. Or sorry, Absolutely Not is Heather McMahon's. Mm-hmm. Good for You is Whitney Cummings. Mm-hmm. I love Whitney Cummings, and she's been bringing like some comedians out that are pregnant, and like, you know, I love
that.
Yeah, I'm like, I just identify with her a little bit better.
Didn't
now.
She just do Royal Oak Music Theater a while back? I wonder if she brings her own openers on the road. Cause I feel like
from what I know,
I know you and Bill are pretty tight, and I have been reached out. You ever get one of these from Bill? I'm sure you have.
I'm submitting you. Yeah. I never get selected.
I'm submitting you for a list for whoever's opening up at this theater. I've thought about it. Yeah.
Like when Michelle Wolf was coming to town and I got her feature spot, and then the day of her shows, it turned out she brought this dude with her.
Why do they not? How is that always a miscommunication where they don't know until last minute?
I think it's the club taking responsibility in case they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also a mix of the communication of like the management or like the comedian not being like, oh, I'm going to bring someone, or maybe the last minute we're like, do you want to come to my show with me? You're like, they might want to. But I think like as a big person like Michelle Wolf, like that would have been such a huge deal for like me from Michigan. For sure. You know, it would have been, I was really bummed that she brought some like dude that they aren't even like, they didn't even have like that much synergy. And I just like, I love Michelle Wolf, I know. I was like really pissed. But
hey, big opportunity, not big opportunity.
Yeah, but it's fine. That's why I like festivals. If you can pick the right festivals and get into the right festivals with good headliners where you get to meet people, like that's why festivals are great. Yeah. I've like done so many festivals now that I'm like realizing, okay, this is the kind of festival that I go to. Mm-hmm. And these are the kinds I don't go to now. Right. Like I like going to the ones with networking opportunities, like industry, because not all of them bring industry. Even if they say they bring industry, some of them don't. And it's like, what the fuck am I doing in the middle of nowhere then?
Right.
Or big headliners, because like it's not like you're meeting them so that they give you opportunities, but it's also just like to get an understanding of the career.
Right.
And to make the world seem a little smaller.
Yeah.
You meet someone that, you know, like has been doing comedy longer than you and maybe has more connections and more, you know, you get to understand like what their day to day looks like. And I think it makes for me, I need to see it to understand how I fit into this world or like how I could fit into the world. So it helped me a lot.
I'll let you go after this. I keep saying that. You opened for Ryan Sickler in Boston, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's one of my favorite comics.
Really?
And if people don't know Ryan Sickler.
Do you like him from his comedy or from his podcast?
Both. But podcast was first. He did the Crab Feast with fucking Jay. Can't think of his last name right now. And that was a huge podcast. Now he's doing the Honeydew. And he's doing another podcast too. And that's how he's doing. And I think he's producing some stuff too, but he's a really great stand-up too. How is it working with him? Because if I had to make a list of five people I'd love to work with, he'd probably be on there. I love his stuff. Mm-hmm. Was it great?
Yeah, he was really fun to work with. Very personable.
Mm-hmm.
he was just prepping still for a special, and he was, I think, working stuff out when mm-hmm. I did with him. I was at Laugh Boston with him.
Okay.
And we, I think we did 5 shows or something like that. But that's he was a really nice guy. Talks about his daughter a lot, and
he's been through hell too. He's been through some shit.
Yeah. And he's like, you know, he's on the older side of comics, and I think like, he's had some like connections with like Tom Segura mm-hmm. and stuff like that, mm-hmm. that have like given him the ability to like tour around like that. But I, most of the audience was there because of his podcast.
Yes.
Honeydew.
Yep.
So, he was a really awesome dude.
That's awesome.
And I think also it takes time for people to warm up. But like so often when I do shows with like a bigger name or something like that, it's always, I try not to get excited.
I also kind of wonder especially for he's in his 50s now, I wonder for older white dudes or just dudes, if your female's a feature, you know, how long does it, you know, you gotta be, I think some dudes are just in their heads. You know what I mean? Where they're like, should I talk to the person? Should I not? Is it what's appropriate? What's not appropriate? Not saying me, I'm saying, I think some dudes do feel like that though, where they're just like,
I think it's like also a matter of, I don't know. It's also like, you never can quite tell what it is or like how someone's going to be. That's why I try not to get like excited about meeting a successful, like bigger comedian. That's like a regular at like the store or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like it took a little time to like warm up, but then towards the end we were like, it's been really awesome working together. Awesome. You know?
I think that's the way
we stay in touch. No. Does he follow me on Instagram? No. Which I think is interesting. I think it's like funny to like,
to work with someone and not follow them back. I mean,
well, especially it's not if you guys just like follow them back. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I think like,
how are you with that? If someone follows you, do you follow them back?
If I'm friends with them.
I gotta tell you something. For the longest time, Camilla, you weren't following me. You do now, but there's a moment in time.
Well, you're like, not very active on Instagram. You post like static images from your podcast. Like, show me something I want to see first, Carl.
It just hurt my feelings.
I don't follow people to tell them I follow you. I follow them like if they have content that I'm interested in.
I also don't think you're going to notice when everyone follows you. So that's what I'm sure. Yeah. So
that's also true. Yeah. Like, I think like I just realized, I don't know, this last year that I wasn't following Ann Duke. And that's like one of my friends. Sure. And I'm like, I don't follow Ann on Instagram.
I have people too that I'm sure I don't follow. Yeah. I should be following. Yeah.
But like, I do think that what I've learned also is, even if someone's nice and even if someone's successful and they like you, nobody in the industry as a comic is really out there to help you. And I think like, that's what I've learned is like, to not be,
thing we're doing,
not you know? Be bitter about it, but it's like everybody's very protective of like what they've built and what they've learned. And even like friends in the industry here in Michigan, it's like, I'm your friend, but I'm not going to go out of my way to help your career. Like, why would I? So why would I,
there's few comics that will do that. You're not wrong. And it sucks, but there's very few people. The only way I can ever do that, and which is very small amounts. When I say I help comics, it's fucking is if I could bring someone with me to open for me. But that's different because you're still involved. You know what I'm saying? So you would never say
I'll open for them.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Let me recommend this person as a headliner.
I mean, or go out of your way to be like, you should book this person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or you should book that person.
We all
should be doing that.
Yeah. But I find really sad because I don't know if it's just a comedy thing, but I think it comes from like the wrong place. A lot of comedians haven't had the experience. Like, this is not just a comedy thing. Like, in the corporate world as well, I think like people get in the misconstrued like train of thought that helping someone else lowers your potential. And I think it's like a very mixed bag. And so even professional comedians who don't see the big picture of like elevating other people actually elevates you.
Yeah.
And the fact that like so many famous comedians don't do that, and just stick to their friends and stick to the people that are already successful is kind of like sad and annoying to me. So like, if and as I continue to grow in my career, like that's going to be something I do a little bit differently. It's like, if someone is featuring for me in a club mm-hmm. and guaranteed they've been excited about it, if that ever happens to me where someone I don't know features for me and like, obviously they're stoked.
Yep.
I'm going to elevate them. I'm going to follow them. I'm going to keep in touch with them. The only person that's ever done this for me, I did this random festival in Paris, Texas called Tower City.
Okay.
And Todd Glass was there.
Love Todd Glass.
Todd Glass gave me his phone number. We talk all the time. As I was prepping for my awesome comedy special, I would send him a message because he's like very particular about setting up your special. Like the lights and the ambiance.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. He's like very much into he talks about that a lot. And so I would text him and like send him a photo and be like, what do you think about this? And he would send me like audio. And he has no reason to help me.
Right.
Besides the fact
he's an awesome guy.
That he's a good person. Yes. Who just like genuinely is like, what do I have to lose? He was like, I'm going to give you my number. If you ever have any questions or want my opinion on something, reach out. And I took him up on it.
And you know, and that's fucking awesome that you did, because I'm not even kidding. 90% of us would take the number and never contact him.
Oh, I have like real questions to ask.
But it's smart. Like, that's what you should do. That's just, I'm saying that's
no
our
reason.
Our, no, you're right.
He had
but
no
I'm saying
reason
that's
to
our
do
comedian
that.
Brains of like, he's yeah. just being nice. No,
he's
he actually
class
really,
act.
He's like, fucking awesome.
He's an amazing human being who's like also really funny. And that's the kind of thing you don't forget. Like, I'll never forget that he did that, because, and it's not just for him. It's just the way that it made me feel.
And you hope that
is
you
what
can
you
eventually
remember.
Do that for someone else.
Of course.
Yeah, of course.
I always do that for people. Even like people in the Detroit scene who are like, I'm a brand new comedian. I'm like, cool. Like, yeah. Let's get you doing, like, these are the 5 shows I would recommend you do. I can reach out to this person. They'll put you
I
on their
that.
Show, blah, blah,
that.
Blah. It's like little things that make no difference to you, but make a huge difference to them.
Yeah. I want everyone to succeed. We just don't. The problem is we're doing a very selfish thing and we don't always think about other people first. You know?
Yeah.
I heard T-Barb say this when I had her on about a month ago. She said, she's talking about giving laughs. And I didn't really hear it until I was editing the episode afterwards. She kept saying, when you're giving laughs. And I was like, holy shit, what a fucking amazing way to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of us are like, we're taking laughs. Mm-hmm. We're not thinking
you're
about
getting laughs.
Yes. What a fucking great way to look at things.
Yeah. That's interesting.
But this has been fun. I love you to death.
Love you too.
And I hopefully we'll run into each other a little bit more. But when you coming back, when do you plan on taking a few months off?
Well, I'm taking just a couple months off and I'll start doing shows back in August. But yeah, my special that comes out May 10th, people should stream it on YouTube and
please
Spotify
do.
And iTunes and all that good stuff.
I love the photos that you've, the promo photos you've
Thank
taken.
You. Yeah.
I can't wait to see it. I'm looking forward to it because I need to watch it because I didn't get to see the live version. But I'm so glad you did this. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. Happy we did it.
Appreciate it.